Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. The title of the message today, Rejoice. Rejoice. And so I'm going to do my best to get through this. It's a previous message that I revised. And before, when I preached this message, I called it, It's a Season of Recompense. How many of you remember that? You were here when I preached that, when Betsy takes copious notes. A little different this time. It's still about recompense. I'm going to talk about what that means. But we have been in such a fierce season of warfare. The battle is raging around the world. What's happening with Israel really affects us all, because the Bible says we were grafted in, and we need to pay attention to what's happening over there. The signs of the times are here in living color, 3D HD. They really are. My friend Joel Rosenbaum, who is a Messianic Jew ministering in all the nations around the world, but primarily for the support of Israel, has been asked if this is the beginning of Gog and Magog, the start of the rumbling that will eventually become that war. And if you don't know what that is, just, you know, it's in the book of Revelation. It's going to be one of the final battles. But the signs of the times are upon us. And the Lord, he rebuked the Pharisees. He said, you can tell when it's going to rain. You can look at the sky and tell the signs. But you don't know the signs that are standing right in front of you. First of all, he was talking about himself coming here in person, standing on the planet as the Messiah. They had all of the prophecies and everything available to them that should have given them a heads up about what was happening at that time, and they missed it. And he told them, he said, you need to pay attention, because there's going to be other signs in the generations to come that will be even more apparent than these. But there's a blindness upon unbelievers right now. And I don't want us to live blind. I feel the Lord just cautioning us in this season to really look up, for our redemption is about to draw nigh, but also to press in closer and to not be just playing games with our faith. Amen. With that said, the Word of God declares that during this time, and I believe we are in this time, where things are going to rapidly start to increase with artificial intelligence, with the alignment of antagonistic nations against Israel and against Christians worldwide. The persecution has already been there, but it is ramping up more than it ever has. There is going to be an unleashing of the demonic. And I don't know about you, but I experienced some demonic warfare as a teenager, but it is nothing like what I'm experiencing now. Can we all agree? It's becoming more and more intense, and this house is so well equipped. You've been taught so well on how to battle and what your weapons are and how to stay faithful. And I could tell you this, worship, prayer, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. I took you through all of that, the Word of God. All these are weapons. You've just got to use them. You don't have any other choice. You've got to put your armor on, and you really need to saturate your homes with things that focus on God, because there's so much coming at us that wants us to focus on the devil and all of the things that he's doing, and he is doing. He's busy, but his day is about to come up. Yeah, his day is numbered. And one of the things that I have learned when warfare is coming at me like it has been recently is to just choose to rejoice. And when I taught you about those highly effective weapons in battle, I did teach you about praise and worship. But there's something about just choosing to rejoice. You don't feel like it. You won't feel like it. And you'll hear me say this numerous times in this message. Your will is more powerful than what you feel. You write that down. take it to bed. Get up with it. Your will is more powerful than what you feel. It's more powerful than your feelings. And there's something even science has proven that happens neurologically, physiologically, when you choose to rejoice. And rejoicing is not just verbal. It's physical. And it's going to feel foreign to your flesh. I heard Bill Johnson talk one time about the Lord speaking to him and telling him, Bill, just get up and rejoice. And he said that was the most foreign thing for him. You know, he's got the leapers and the dancers and the twirlers and all that in his church. But for him to rejoice, it was just an awkward thing. So he went and closed all the curtains so no one could see him. And, you know, because he didn't want anybody to see him trying to do this. And he just started to go, woo, hallelujah. You know, it's about movement. It is. And there's something that happens to you and through you when you begin to rejoice. And this is not just dumb dancing. This is where God, I choose to be happy. I choose to make a demonstration and a show of my joy. There's no reason for me to have joy. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. It comes from a source within that defies your circumstances. Happiness is dependent upon your circumstances. Joy you can find in Jesus when the world is crashing down around you. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord, not the joy of the world or the joy of a dance song or the joy, you know, of a good meal or the joy of this. Those things can sometimes cause us to feel happy or a sense of joy. But the source of joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes from him. It's called the joy of the Lord. And the word rejoice means to joy again, to redo it, to joy again. And the Lord is saying, look, there's a lot coming at you as you start to feel the permeating heaviness, the prevailing atmosphere of the demonic and this world culture. The church has got to get more militant in their worship and their posture, because I even see it. It's like a wet noodle. It's like a limp rag. It's like a feeling. Y'all are nodding at me right now. It's a feeling that comes over you where you just feel mental fog and you feel like you can't hardly plow through the day and you can't hardly get up and make decisions. Am I talking to anybody this morning? There's a thickness of in the air. And the Bible says the enemy has access to the second heaven. But we as believers have the Spirit of God to press through all of that muck and all of that mire and actually tap into the power of God. But it happens when we decide to make him our focal point and say, you know what? I'm not going to let what the enemy's trying to put down on my region, put down on my home, put down on my city. I'm not going to let it win. So I'm going to give you some encouragement and then we're going to go into that. Number one, God promises to set things right and make restitution or recompense for the wrongs done to us. And there's been a lot of wrong that's been done. He also calls us to rejoice amid fierce opposition so we'll have the strength to walk on and fulfill our destiny. The definition of recompense is this: to repay, to reward as for service, aid, etc., to pay or give compensation, favors, gifts for, to make restitution or requital for damage, wrong, injury, or the like. That's good news. The synonyms for recompense are reimburse, recoup, satisfaction, recovery, redress, and return. Now, we just need to believe that. God is going to repay. He is going to recompense. He is going to give you favor and bless you in spite of damage, wrong, and injury. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, right there. Amen? Many times we start getting, we start focusing on the wrong, we focus on the injury, and this is emotional injury as well. Our hearts can be injured, amen? The enemy wants more than anything in this season to get us into offense. What does it say about this hour? It says mother will be against son. Son will be against father. Yeah? The family is going to be pitted against each other more than it's ever been pitted against each other. And it says people will become offended with each other just like that. The love of the great body is going to grow cold. Against the backdrop of this iciness that the enemy's trying to bring into families where our heart becomes cold and we no longer have any kind of affection or mercy toward one another, God is saying there is still a remnant of my people that will keep their hearts fervent and they will guard their hearts like no other generation and say, I choose to be unoffendable. Family is gonna be acting all kinds of crazy. 50 shades is not enough. It's gonna be like on another level. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's gonna happen and we should not be surprised by that. We need to understand the enemy is trying to operate through whomever he can to get to us, to cause our hearts to become offended so we open the door to the devil so that he can come in and kill, steal, and destroy us. And you have to decide, oh, I didn't like that. I didn't know that didn't feel good. What you said didn't really feel good. But we have to stay out of defensive mode. Did you know that God can defend you just fine? You need to stand in your truth. I am a child of God. I am saved. I am redeemed. I am royalty. I am an heir of Jesus Christ. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in righteousness. No one can take my identity. I'm never going to be more loved than I am right now. I know who I am. I'm already chosen. I know what he's spoken. He's holding me up. I don't have to hold him up. And I don't need anyone else's opinion to prop me up. Hallelujah. And everything that's been done wrong to me, God has taken an account of that, and he's going to put it back. And not only that, he's going to make the punk that took it from me pay me back 7 times. So you just need to rejoice, because that's 7+. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So that brings me to the point. We have a reason to rejoice. And now, anytime anybody does this or says anything to me, you know what I do? I say, hallelujah, I get 7 times as much. It's coming to me pretty soon. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I have reason to rejoice. And let me tell you, I start hearing those guys singing. I'm like, sing, girl, sing. Sing, gentlemen, right? If you're in my house, you will hear me. The neighbors sometimes hear me. I don't care. They need to hear it. Something sounds like a wailing cat up in there. Wailing dog, I don't know. They can call me Wailing, Wailing Jennings, I don't know. I'm Wailing. But I'm choosing it. Now every time a barb comes at me, I say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, you're worthy, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I glorify you, Lord. You cannot be doing that and going inside your head and mulling over what they said or what they did, or you know what I mean? And listen, Pastor Simone preached an incredible message on rumination. And the enemy is trying to pull our brain, pull our head over to what they said and what they did. And as we progress into this time when the Lord, I believe, is going to take his church out of here, we have to get better at going back to what God said rather than what they said. And what God has done rather than what they have did or done. That's not grammatically correct, but what they have did. Amen. So the definition of rejoice is to feel and show great joy and delight, to be glad, to be happy, to be elated. I mean, that is not natural. Someone comes up to you and wants to tell you the story of what someone said about you and how they knifed you in the back and what they did. And you ought to just go, you know what? Lord, I'm elated in you. Hallelujah, I'm elated. Not because of what they did, because of what you've done. Yeah? You have forgiven me for everything I've ever done, and you'll forgive them too. Isn't that good news? It may take me a minute to forgive them, but at least they have that forgiveness in you, and I'm going to give it to them anyways. Yeah? So there's going to be times, folks, when we're hit by the enemy through people or demonic conditions. And there are demonic spirits that are hitting people all around us. And it's going to knock the wind out of you at times. It's going to knock it out of you. And the enemy will attempt to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your finances. He wants to rob you of healthy relationships. And the strongest of us can often feel like we've been hit by Ken Shamrock. I never want that to happen to me anyways. I never want to even feel what that is like. But I mean, can you imagine? It's just, you feel confused. You feel afraid. We watch his bare knuckle fight. And by the way, everyone should watch Valor Bare Knuckle. Just give him a plug. Good job. We were on vacation and we were all gathered around my computer and Mama Didi was like, yeah, hit him. And we were like, all right, that was, it was awesome. But you know what? There was a couple of them that were very dazed and confused. There was one guy, I felt so sorry for him. He kept trying to get up and Mama Didi was like, oh, poor thing. He was like trying to get up, couldn't get up. And I was thinking, man, some of us feel like that when we get hit by the devil. Yeah? It's confusing. It's hard. It hurts. But here's the truth. We have a comforter. We have a comforter that we can count on to set things right. We have someone in our life that will make restitution for the wrongs that have been done to us. And Isaiah 35, verse 4. It says, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God. And I always see that as your dad. My father, Ira Chalk, always said, when you see God in the Old Testament, the word God or Yahweh, always see it as your father, Verna. Because he's your father. And he said, one day I'll be gone. And I won't always be here with you. But you have an everlasting Father. You have a Prince of Peace. You have a wonderful Counselor, a mighty God. And always see that word in the Old Testament, Father, instead of just God. He's God. Yes, we should honor him as such. But esteem your Father because your Father cares. And there's some good fathers in here. And let me tell you, I know Ken's a good father. I know John's a good father. I know Rod's a good father. I know you're a good father, Matt. But I know you're a good father, Tim. But you would thump somebody down if they were trifling with your children. You know? And we need to really come back to who he is. He's not just this faraway, distant God who sits up in the heavens somewhere and kind of, you know, oversees. He's not just the manager of the universe. He's our Father. He says your Father will come with vengeance, with the recompense of your father, of your dad. He will come and save you. And I love the way the Message says it. It says energize the limp hands, strengthen the rubbery knees. I saw some rubbery knees in those fights. Tell fearful souls courage. Come on. Courage is sometimes just one word. Just like courage. Take heart. Your dad is here. He's right here on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on his way. He'll save you. I love that. And the second thing I wanted you to know today is that you and your will is more powerful than how you feel. And the best thing to do when wronged is to be fierce in your shout and rejoice. In other words, be joyful again and again and again and don't wait until you feel it. Choose joy no matter what is going on because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Nehemiah 8:10, if you guys, you're going to get to this book of Nehemiah, they had an assignment to go rebuild the city of Jerusalem. They were broke. They didn't have any money. Everybody was serving, you know, Cyrus the king, and they were all scattered in all these different places. The word of God had been closed up. It had not been read in the longest time. They had forgotten what the word said. They'd forgotten who they were. They were a mess. And the Lord gives Nehemiah and Ezra an assignment to go back, They speak to Cyrus the king, and that's why we say we have the Cyrus anointing. He was an ungodly king, but God anointed him with such massive wealth for a purpose so that when the time came for his people to actually rebuild the ruins of their lives and their families and everything else, they had served him so well, he gave them the money to go and get the job done. So the resources just started to come in. They have the assignment. That feels so good when you've got an assignment and you've got a new business and you've got something that God wants to launch for his glory. And he's given you all of the support and everything you need. Well, guess what? It didn't just go so easily. They get over there and this demonic king, Sanballat, starts to send messengers, heckling them, threatening them day and night. And he's got the women and the children building. And finally, Nehemiah just says, you know what? Get a hammer in one hand and build, and get a sword in the other. Because this job is gonna get done. We're gonna have to battle through the rebuilding of this thing that God has called us to do. In other words, there's always a battle for your family. There's gonna be a battle for what God has you building in this season. But he has given you, he said, isn't my word like a hammer? Come on, he's given you the tools. He's given you the hammer and the sword. He's given, in this season, I really believe the resources for what he's calling you to do are gonna start to flood in. Because the wealth of the wicked has been laid up for who? The righteous. And we need to rejoice right now, even if we've got the hecklers, even if we've got the people coming against us, speaking all manner of evil against us, we need to rejoice. The Bible says, pray for their pointy little heads and bless them. Because they speak all manner of evil against you. Yeah? He says, rejoice. I'm going to read it to you. It's like, oh, you're a bitty, 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 and you're like, ha, ha, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he tells Nehemiah in Nehemiah 8:10, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink. Now, for all of you who don't know what that is, that's the wine. And send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord God, and be not grieved. Here it is. It's just a command. You know that you can feel grief and be not grieved? It's just a decision. It's not a decision to avoid your feelings and to not acknowledge them, right? There were days I was like, this hurts. I feel sadness. I feel grief, but I do not give myself permission to go, oh, poor me. I'm so sad. My husband just died. I don't want to serve God anymore. This church is just going to have to do it on their own. I'm not making fun of myself. I'm just telling you, it's so easy to just go into a pit when life is hard and things are crushing in around you. You know the days I showed up in here and I didn't feel it, but God was still worthy. God was worthy of my praise. He was worthy of my worship. He was worthy of me coming up here and kneeling down in his presence and saying, Lord, if you take it all away, I will worship my face off until the day I see you, because my life isn't over. This isn't the end. You are. Something new is going to be birthed in my life. Hallelujah. And he told him, don't you quit. In other words, go have a party. Celebrate. Get together. Make a good meal. Come on, you've been working hard. You've been fighting. You know what? Gather all your people together. Have a glass of wine. Drink some good food. Eat the fat. Don't count the calories. Rejoice. Dance. Have a good time. Bet you don't hear that in church. You do in this church. He didn't tell them to go get drunk and lose their mind and, you know, hurt people. There are times when you need to be intentional to celebrate amid opposition. To look up and thank God for the food on your table. Amen? To get some people together and remind each other we're saved. We are sanctified. We are glorified. We're all the fides. If there's a fight, we are it. Amen? We're justified. And we know it. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, when all this stuff is happening, that just means we're going to get out here a lot quicker. We are, hallelujah, man, it's going to be any day now. Woo! Yeah? He says this so powerfully, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. The joy is a stronghold. It's a place of keeping. It's an impenetrable force against the enemy. And we choose it. This is what he's telling him. So you need strength to go through trials. And knowing that the God who saves is always going to take care of you should still give you a reason to rejoice. Jesus said this, people will insult you in Matthew 5:11. They will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you. And here's why, because you follow me. You need to normalize that. As a follower of Christ, we can't live thinking that, you know, everybody's gonna like us and everybody's gonna say nice things about us. Because the moment you sign up for eternal life with Jesus, you become a target for the enemy. It's like you got a bullseye on the back of your head, on your head, wherever, and he's gonna strike with his fiery darts. That's why we got a shield of faith. And we lift that up and we deflect not some, but all the fiery darts of the devil with it. And Jesus is telling them the truth. He says, but when they do that, watch this, know that great blessings belong to you. I want you to start to see that. Every time insults come and lies come and all that, you need to say, hallelujah, because great blessings belong to me. Amen. And he tells them, he says, be happy about it. Be very glad. The Amplified says this, rejoice and be exceedingly joyful because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did these same bad things to the prophets who lived before you. You know, I don't know what my mansion's going to look like, but every time somebody lies about me, I think God puts something prettier in it and makes it a little bit bigger. We were just at the Hearst Castle, and we were learning about how the guy just, he would build something, and he'd tear it down because it wasn't good enough or wasn't big enough or this or that. It took him 28 years to build it, and I think, Lord, you just probably have expanded so many mansions in my friends' lives because of all of the things they've gone through. Amen? I'm going to land on this one today, but stick with me because this is one of my favorites from the Message. This has become a staple for me in times of opposition. And I love it. God, Dad, let the cosmos praise your wonderful ways. The choir of holy angels sing anthems to your faithful ways. Search high and low, scan skies and land. You'll find nothing and no one quite like my dad. The holy angels are in awe before him. And you know, when I sing this back to him, I say, the angels are in awe before you. You loom immense and august over everyone around you. Dad of the angel armies, who is like you? Powerful and faithful from every angle. You put the arrogant ocean in its place and calm its waves when they turn unruly. You gave that old hag Egypt the back of your hand. Wow. You brushed off your enemies with a flick of your wrist. Kapoof. You own the cosmos. You made everything in it. Everything from Adam to Archangel. You position the North and South Poles, the mountains. Tabor and Hermon sing duets to you. With your well-muscled arm. Why does Ken always show up when I read this passage? Your well-muscled arm and your grip of steel. Nobody trifles with you. The right and justice are the roots of your rule. Love and truth are its fruits. Blessed are the people, here it is. Blessed are the people who know the passwords of praise, who shout on parade in the bright presence of you, Dad. Delighted, they dance all day long. They know who you are and what you do. They can't keep it quiet. Your vibrant beauty has gotten inside us. You've been so good to us. We're walking on air. And we are and have, all we are and have, we owe to you, Dad, holy God of Israel, our King. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. There's a lot of warfare going on, but there's a lot of blessing. There's a whole lot of blessing being stored up and being released for you because you are his children. And lastly, I want you to know that you have to engage. You have to engage your will. and rejoice even when it looks like you have been stumped and nothing is working. There's always going to be seasons where you feel like nothing's working. Your prayer's not working. Your sowing's not working. All your good deeds are not working. I mean, just, you know, one thing Mother Didi has taught us is that we're to love for the sheer pleasure of loving. And it hurts when you've loved well and you don't get that reciprocated by the people that you've given that to. But you have to know that you have a source of love that will never stop loving you, that will always reciprocate, and that you may not get your harvest from the people you sow into. And that hurts. Your harvest will oftentimes come through others. And you got to know that there's a recompense. There's a repayment. There's a righting of the wrongs that your dad is going to do for you. And you have to put your heart back in his hands. It hurts when you've given your heart so freely to others and they haven't treated it well and they haven't treasured it and they haven't seen how deeply you wanted them to know the love of God, to know your love. It hurts. That's the reality. But the payback comes from the Lord. It's not that he pays them back. He's not evil like that. But he deals with them. But what he does is he says, you know what? You were hurt in that way. And not only am I going to heal the hurt in your heart, but I'm going to give you so much more than what you were expecting from them. Trust me. Look to me as your source. Yeah? I'll do it in so many beautiful new ways. It may come through another person. It may come through a different thing that I'm going to do in your life. But I will so satisfy your heart if you'll look to me. Habakkuk said this, and I've preached on this so many times, but it's just such a great scripture to end on because it's the resolve of a man who said, I've been doing so much, and it seems like nothing's working. But my resolve is that even if all that doesn't work, I'm still going to exult and rejoice in you. And he said, though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no cattle in the stalls, that was his livelihood. Yet I will. There it is. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious dad, my father, of my salvation. The Lord, my dad, is my strength. He's my personal bravery and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk. Watch this. He will make me to walk, not stand still in terror. You know, the enemy wants to get you so afraid that you just get paralyzed, just stuck. I see people just stuck. Here's someone who says, he will make me walk. You know, God is going to help you walk on. He'll help you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll help you walk through betrayal. He'll help you walk through sickness. He'll help you walk through family turning against you. Come on. He will help you walk through divorce. He will help you walk through death. He will help you walk on and not stay stuck in terror, in trouble, in suffering. He will help you have spiritual progress. I love that. And he will help us make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. And I love that. I just wanted to end on that today because you know what? So many of you have been going through trouble. I know your stories. I know your families. And I want to just encourage you today that I have seen you not only buck up, but I've seen you stand up. I've seen you show up. I've seen you grow up. I've seen you show up in the house of God when all hell was breaking loose against you. I've seen soul harvest stand the test of time when all hell was breaking loose against us. And I want the devil to know something. We're still here and we're not going anywhere in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is going to give us double for our trouble. Amen. Come on, stand up to your feet. Give God a big praise right now. God, we thank you. Come on, let him hear you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. Ha ha. Woo! Father, I pray a blessing over all these loved ones. I just declare they don't sink in despair. There's no sinking going on here. In you, Lord, we don't sink, we walk. We walk on water. We walk on through. I declare this is a season of fortification for them. God, we kept giving me that word the other day, fortification. I am fortifying you. I am strengthening you where you have felt weak. I am strengthening your weak knees. I'm strengthening your rubbery limbs. I am removing the heaviness from your life and from your homes. I thank you, Lord, right now that was a word you gave me, that these loved ones are going to be pillars of strength. They're going to be trophies of your glory and of your victory for a generation that's looking around saying, where is their bravery? Where is their hope? Where is their strength? And we just declare, Lord, it's in their homes. It is in their life. It is in the house of the Lord. And we rejoice today in you. Thank you, Lord, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray for every person listening to me. If you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, is that you would do it right now. That you would just simply say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And I give you my heart right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you pray that or if you say that, the Bible says that he writes your name in his Lamb's Book of Life, gives you eternal life. And all of heaven is doing what I preached about today. They are rejoicing over you. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer, the team is going to be here. Please don't leave without it. We love you. Make it out for Wednesday night. Bible study. It's amazing. Invite some friends out. Jump in. You're not too late.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.